there might be glory to his name this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Be looking at some other verses as well, but we'll be seeing Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Let me read to you a little bit of our Constitution. Article 2 is the purpose. The purpose. That's why we're here. That's why God allows us to be a church. Our purpose. The purpose of this organization, our Constitution says, is to glorify God by uniting together as a group of baptized believers in Jesus Christ for worship and Christian service. That's pretty good, isn't it? Goes on to say, to edify and equip the membership through regular Bible instruction and study, and to unite together in fulfilling the Great Commission by advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own neighborhood and throughout the world. The Great Commission. Let's read Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which is, of course, the Great Commission. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Teaching them to observe all the things that the Lord taught, it's our responsibility to give it to others. That's why we're here, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and teach them everything he taught. That's our purpose. I think what is stated in our Constitution is well worded. It's good. Sometimes things happen that can test our commitment to foundational doctrines and what we believe, our philosophies of ministry. Yea, the Baptist distinctives. I understand that not long before Pastor Mellon left, he taught the Baptist distinctives. I think Brother Lee told me that. Biblical authority. The autonomy of the local church. The priesthood of the believer. The two ordinances, which are the Lord's Supper and baptism. Individual soul liberty, saved, baptized church membership, two officers, which are pastor and deacon, and the separation of church and state. Is that how he taught it? Not exactly. I know there are a couple of different formulations of that, but all of those are important things. Separation of church and state, you say, well, does that belong in Baptist distinctives? Well, yeah, but it's not defined by our government. It's defined by us, by the Word of God, certainly. Sometimes things happen that can cause us to, it could test our commitment to those principles. Sometimes things happen that reveal areas that need to be refined in our commitment. We need to rededicate ourselves to that. Sometimes things happen that try our dedication to our stated purpose. Often that happens in our day. There are a number of worthy, worthwhile purposes out there that other organizations are involved in. I think it's wonderful when there's an orphanage in a country, a third world country, where so many parents have died of AIDS, don't you? I think it's great to have an orphanage there. That's a worthy cause. But it's not part of our stated purpose, is it? To have an orphanage. I think it's great to feed the hungry, don't you? But that's not part of our stated cause either. Did you notice? Here's the problem with so many different worthy things out here that we could be involved in. We could give ourselves to those other worthy things and miss out altogether on what God has called us to be, a church that does what? Meets together in Christ and edifies one another. Serves the body of Christ and reaches out to the world with the life-changing good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead to pay for your sins. You know what America needs? That's it. They need to know. People need to know that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead to save them from their sins. If people would get saved, they would have the Spirit of God living within, and we would have the opportunity to do our other part of our purpose, to edify them, to disciple them, to bring them up in the Lord, to see them become more and more like Christ. And you know what would happen? They would go out there to some other people, and they would tell them that Jesus died and was buried and rose for them, and they would teach them all things that Jesus taught. And we can change the world. We can change the world. That's our purpose. But good things can get in the way even of us doing that. Now, I'm not against feeding somebody that's hungry. Please don't get me wrong. We might buy them a meal and give them the gospel, right? We have opportunities sometimes by meeting the physical needs of others that we can help them to see spiritually what they need to do. But our goal, our purpose, is to bring them to Christ and teach them everything that Jesus Christ taught. We need to not lose sight of that. If we continue on the right path, following after the Lord to fulfill our purpose, then we will eventually be faced with some questions, several questions that beg the answer. Questions like this: is there anything special about 331 Main Street, Corinth? Is there anything special about this place? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. It sort of depends on your perspective of things, doesn't it? I understand the no. You know, that's the church is the group of people who meets in this building. But let me remind you, we gave this to the Lord. Or you did, I should say. Or somebody before you gave this to the Lord. This is God's building. Does it matter to Him? Yeah? Does it matter what we do here? Well, yes, it does, actually. Maybe we've heard that, you know, the people are the church. It's not the building. It's not the brick and mortar. We've heard that so much. Maybe we allowed the pendulum to swing so much the other way, so much to where many churches have become a lot of things other than church. They're movie theaters. They're places for drama. And there are all sorts of things, and they're doing all sorts of things in church in the name of Christ, in God's building. You guess He's okay with that? We ought to ask those questions. Are there things that we should not do here? Within the realms of good music, does it matter what songs we sing here? Please shake your head yes. It matters what we sing here. Even within the realms of right, it matters what we sing here. Within the realms of wholesome activity, does it matter what we do here? Well, absolutely. This is God's place. It's God's building. When people ride by, they ought to know that we look at this building that we have here, this facility, this is God's. Within the realms of modesty, does it matter what we wear here? Within the realms of wholesome topics, does it matter what we talk about here? How should we as a church respond to those whose presence sort of violates our comfort zone? On what basis should we extend the right hand of fellowship to them anyway? On what basis should we withhold it? See, these are good questions, aren't they? Do we have to agree with a mission board or a missionary or some agency 100% before we can support them as a church? Should we separate ourselves from them who refuse to separate themselves from things that are wrong? Do we in any way endorse those things that we refuse to condemn? Do we endorse things because we refuse to say, that's not right? Yeah, we do. I asked a lot of questions. There are a lot more. All of these are somehow connected to our purpose. Why are we here? See, if we can understand why we're here, we can answer a lot of questions about about church. These questions have at least one thing in common. They're all church questions that involve our purpose. Why are we here? The biblical prescription for answering questions is, of course, pray to God for wisdom. Prayer ought to be a part of our answering questions, don't you think? Pertaining to church and life and what matters to God, we need to pray. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The Bible says in James 1:5. We pray for wisdom. We commit ourselves to the teaching of the Holy Spirit because the Bible tells us we have an unction from the Holy One. And ye know all things, it says. God the Spirit, working with our knowledge of the Bible, reveals to us the truth that God wants us to possess so that we can make these decisions and answer these questions. And thirdly, we need to look in the direction of the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. It's a light unto our paths as well. All of these questions will be easier to answer if we first answer the foundational question: what's our purpose? Why are we here? What's a church to do? What are we all about here at Corinth Baptist Church? But maybe it would be easier if first we would answer this question: what is our purpose not? What is not our purpose? What are we not here to do? And I'd like to do that this morning and continue to the other question next Sunday morning. So you'll have to come back to hear the end. Or get the CD or listen online. Several years ago, I saw a church and it offered these three words on its sign. I've never forgotten it. It marked me for life. I saw these three words and a light bulb turned on and I thought, wow, now that's interesting. The three words were these: contemporary, relevant, accepting. Contemporary, relevant, accepting. Those are the three words. That's all that was on the church sign. Three words. And they meant for those three words to draw other people. Now, I want you to understand, as I talk about this church, which I won't reveal to you where it is or what it is, but I'm not against the people of God who go to church there. I'm not at all. I'm not against the church. There are many like that church today. But the philosophy behind these three words being put on a church sign is not biblical. And I want to tell you why. Contemporary, relevant, accepting. Let's consider our purpose is not about being contemporary. Well, what is contemporary? Is it a bad word? Yes or no? No, it's not a bad word. It means something of our time, new. Something new. Is something bad because it's new? No, it's not. It's not a bad word. It means up to date, current. It means modern. Modern. The word contemporary on a church sign suggests that there were some other churches that were doing things that were not contemporary. They're outdated. You start to see why there may be a problem here. For a church to claim that they're modern and updated means to say that other places you could go are not like us. They're not contemporary. They're sort of out of date. They're sort of obsolete. They're sort of old-fashioned. And they have all sorts of other names to call churches that are not contemporary. Well, what is contemporary about a church that calls itself contemporary? Well, I know it's Sunday morning, but go ahead and say it. What do you think? Contemporary what? Music? The worship style is contemporary. The message might be a contemporary. How do you say it's not an old-fashioned Bible preaching message? No, it's a contemporary approach. And what that means is it's not offensive. Are you familiar with the the term politically correct. In our day, it would be politically correct. It would make you feel good about yourself. A contemporary church, the message of that church is generally something that you go in and you get challenged and you go out feeling pretty good about yourself. You could listen to the radio and the television and hear sort of the epitome of that is Joel Osteen. You heard of his name? He wants you to feel good about yourself. He makes no bones about it now. He'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you about his ministry. He wants people to go away feeling good about themselves. They have contemporary methodology. They have a lot of programs and drama and new days, new times of worship. It just, everything's kind of changed. It's not like it used to be. It's contemporary. They have contemporary motive. They want to do what they do to bring people together. They want unity. Is that important? Yeah? Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with unity in a church, is there? But what if you want unity to sort of reach out and pull some more in? You need to be concerned with what you're unifying with. Would you agree? You need to be careful about what you're doing when you pull other people in. And can you be in unity with them? Where do you stand? We would have to ask. Can we be unified with them? They want to talk about brotherhood. They want to talk about prosperity and happiness in a contemporary church. Now, I hope I said enough already for you to understand what I mean when I say at Corinth Baptist Church, let's be content to do what we do God's way. We don't need to define it as contemporary and up-to-date. Let's just do it God's way, even if there are those that will call us old-fashioned. Brothers and sisters, this is really important today. I want you to turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verses 9 to 11. Ecclesiastes 1 verses 9 to 11. And read with me what Solomon had to say. And I think you'll see how it applies to what we're talking about here without twisting its interpretation at all. Solomon observed, chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. He says there, "The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Does that surprise you? We live in the day of technology and new ideas. Solomon saying there's really nothing new about them. They've already been. They pass. We go through fads. People think certain thoughts. They think certain ways. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 10 says, "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time," he says, which was new. "It hath been already of old time, which was before us." Verse 11, "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." In other words, if anything appears new, it's because we've forgotten. We did that before. Man has done that before. I was talking to someone recently about an quite often it's the topic of discussion about the condition our world is in. And I mentioned that we're following along in the footsteps of other world powers of years gone by, and particularly the Roman Empire, the old Roman Empire. It is amazing to make the comparison about them. They went for those many years, and now the Roman Empire is out of the picture. And America is taking some of the same footsteps that the Roman Empire took. I don't have time to explain that, but there's nothing new. All of the things that are leading us down the path of in America that we have been led down, they're not new things. They're not new ideas. They're not new isms. They've been around for many, many years. And they just show up occasionally. And history has a tendency of repeating itself. Jeremiah quoted the Lord as saying in chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein." This is Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Great verse to mark. Turn to it and look at it. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. While you're turning, I'll read and then we'll read it together after everyone's there. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." They rebelled. Let's read it one more time. Verse 16, Jeremiah 6. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." I want you to look at one other verse. Verse 17 of James. Chapter 1, James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. So the New Testament, James chapter 1 and verse 17. One other verse here. James 1:17. And it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God's always the same. So brothers and sisters, though we might use the resources that are made available to us, we have a projector mounted up here that we shine our things on. We use a lot of electronic equipment. I have an iPad. Everybody's carrying their phones, or most everybody's carrying phones with them nowadays. And the world's changed a lot. And though we might use the resources made available to us these last days, we need to remember that God's music and God's message and God's method and God's motive have not changed. The world we live in has changed, but God has not changed. None of those things, not His music, not His method, not His message, not His motive, they've not changed. So contemporary as a philosophy of ministry is contrary to Scripture. To do something for the sake of it being new, attracting people by doing it a different way other than God's way, is not biblical. God does not need our help to win the lost. He could have the angels announce it. We're privileged to go out and tell them. We're heralds of the good news. And a herald tells the message as it was given him by the master. He just gives out the message. Whether he likes it or not, this is what the king says. And that's what we do. We don't need to change it, and we don't need to contextualize it. We don't need to twist the Bible around our culture so people will be happy with what they hear. Let's just tell them what the Bible says. This is what God says to you. And we don't need to be contemporary. Contemporary as a philosophy of ministry is contrary to Scripture. So we probably won't put it on our sign. How about that second word, relevant? Do you know what relevant means? It means having a bearing on or a connection with the matter at hand. Pertains to what's important right now. What's important to us right now? This word relevant on the church sign suggests that there are other churches that are doing things that are irrelevant. They're out of touch. They're not dealing with the real issues. Don't go over there. They're just old fogies. They don't know anything. What they do is irrelevant. But understand, when man determines what is relevant, generally at the center of what's important, you find man, self, humanism. Man's the center of the universe, and everything revolves around man and how it affects man. Is that the truth? That's the absolute lie from the pits of hell. What's the truth? What's most important? God is. God is most important. The Bible in this world in which we live is examined in light of our experience, rather than our experience examined in the light of the Bible. We've got it all twisted up so that we can make things relevant. What's important to you? This philosophy is evidenced in part by new terminology. You see it all over the place. That church used to be so-and-so. Now it's the fellowship or the family center. Who's the center of the fellowship? We are. Who's the center of the family center? Our families are. Christian Provision Ministries. Here's another one. Cornerstone Christian Empowerment. They've got all sorts of really weird names for churches, and churches just disappearing off the signs. As a matter of fact, they don't even have church-like signs anymore. They've changed that too. It's more the marquee and the blinking lights. And there's nothing wrong with a blinking light. Please don't take it too far. But they're not churches anymore. The new focus of ministry is sometimes aerobic classes instead of revival services. Super Bowl Sunday instead of Sunday school. A financial seminar instead of a building fund drive. A concert instead of communion. Pageants instead of prayer meeting. Book sales instead of a Bible study. Drama instead of the preaching of God's word. Why? To make it relevant. To make it what you want to hear about. What you think is important. And some would argue these activities and exercises are not in themselves wrong. God doesn't care what we do at church as long as it's wholesome, they say. The people are the church, not the building. Right? We as a church should try to meet God's people where they live, they tell us. The people like sports, so let's give them some Christian sporting venue. It's a day of prosperity, so let's teach them how to make money and how to invest it. Let's in a day of hurry, shouldn't we teach them time management, and shouldn't we schedule our services and our activities around their busy schedules? Is there any problem with this? At Corinth Baptist Church, let's concentrate on what God has determined to be relevant. It's important because God says it's important, not because I feel like it is. If I don't feel like that is important and God says it's important, then I have a problem. I have a missionary friend. Bonnie and Jesse would know him, the Copps. Daryl Copp. Years ago, his daughter was really small and she was going to a friend's birthday party. And when she got there, she'd only been to a couple of birthday parties, and the one that she enjoyed the most was her own. And everybody brought her gifts. And she thought when she went to this little friend's birthday party that she was going to get gifts. And she was so excited, but all the gifts kept going the other way, and she sort of got the poochie lip about it, and her daddy bent over and whispered in her ear, "Honey, this is not about you. This is not about you. We got more empty seats here this morning than we have filled. I wish we had to knock the walls down and to seat other people." You know how we could do that? Let's make the ministry about them. And about us. And what we want. What we think. And what we feel. Let's make it relevant. Oh God, help us not do that. God, help us to call what God says is good, good. And what He says is evil. And what God says is important. Well, that's what's important and should be important to us. And if it's not, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with you. The most relevant issues of life are those which are dealt with in the eternally relevant book, the Bible. Maybe a more accurate word to go on that sign years ago would have been accommodating. They're accommodating. But brothers and sisters, we are not, at Corinth Baptist Church, a political arena. We're not a family center. We're not a financial advisory board. We're not a health club. We're not a conference center. We're not a senior center. All of those things may be okay, but it's not what we are. We're a church. And what does a church do? I know it's Sunday morning, but tell me again. What does a church do? We worship God. We edify believers. We reach out to the whole world with the gospel and teach them everything that Jesus taught. That's our purpose. Do you see how churches are drawn away from their purpose and they cease to be churches? Literally, they cease to be churches. I pray that it not happen here. Not now and not until the trumpet sounds. There will always be a church. And that what's important to God for a church will be important to us. We're not a school. We're not a banquet hall. We're not a sports arena. We're not a soup kitchen. Those things are okay, but they're not church. And churches are not those things. We have a purpose that's infinitely more important than any of those things I mentioned. Infinitely more important. The last word is accepting. Does that sound good? Accepting. Accepting defined. It means to receive with gladness, to regard as proper, usual, and right. To regard as true and to believe in, to endure resignedly and patiently. To endure resignedly or patiently. The word accepting on the church sign suggests that there are other churches who are, they're not accepting. They don't want you here. We'll take you. We want you to come just as you are, because those other people, they don't want you. Come with us. The word accepting on the sign suggests that there are some other churches that are prejudiced bigots. They're so strongly opinionated, they don't want anything to do with you. And practically speaking, they mean accepting as opposed to separated. If you're accepting, you're not separated. There are those that we believe the Bible would have us separate from. There are churches here who won't separate from anybody. Any denomination, you'll feel quite at home here. You can believe what you want to and just listen to our messages and go home and feel good about yourself. We'll talk about the Bible. We'll give you books. We'll bring things in to entertain your kids. We'll have this program and that program. We'll minister to the needs of your family. And we'll take everybody just as they are. So they're not separated. What exactly are they willing to accept? It'll be fine if you come in and you want to dialogue a little, argue a little bit about the inerrancy of Scripture. They're okay with that. Lots of churches are okay with you not believing that this is the Word of God. You can join the church. There's a minimal adherence to the fundamentals of the faith. There's unscriptural associations in their life. There's immoral relationships. Now, I like people who are living together. God loves them and Jesus died for them, but they're wrong. They're living in sin. And I'm not going to be accepting of that. Oh, it's fine if they come to church, but I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to lovingly talk to them and try to help them to understand. You know what? There's a generation or two right now that doesn't know it's wrong to live together. They're accepting of civil disobedience, social drinking, smoking, infidelity in marriage relationships. It's okay with them. They're accepting. Oh, come any way you are. In defense of their philosophy of acceptance, they might argue, this is the age of reason. Shouldn't we provide a place for dialogue about how they're feeling about things and what they think, their philosophies? This is the age of equality. Shouldn't we aid in tearing down barriers between the sexes or the denominations and so forth? What the world needs now, they say, is love. Should we embrace our fellow man wherever and whoever he is? At Corinth Baptist Church, let's accept the things that God accepts, and we'll reject the things that he rejects. Simple as that. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, you're familiar with this psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Does it speak to the issue of acceptance? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the person who will not be accepting of what God is not accepting of. Paul wrote, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, this sort of contradicts that philosophy of acceptance of anything, anybody, any way, anything you want to believe. I remind you that Jesus said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Why would he say that? Because Paul was not going to be accepting in the sense that it's meant on the church sign in our day. If your Christianity is accepting of the world, and the world is accepting of your Christianity, well, something's wrong. But you know, that's the way it's going to be in the last days. There's going to be a one-world church made up of all unsaved people who are very religious. How did they get where they are? Well, we accepted them where they were. And they accepted us where we were. The questions that we were working to answer, is there anything special about 331 Main Street, Corinth? Are there things that we should not do here? How should we, as a church, respond to those whose presence violates our comfort zone? Do we have to agree 100% before we can be supportive of another outside ministry? We start to answer these questions and all the others. We start to answer those questions by answering this question. What are we not about? What is it that we're not called to do? You see, if we just understand our purpose, brothers and sisters, we'll stay on track. Until something happens to cause us to kind of veer off and get involved in something that we're not. Even a good thing that we're not. can bring us down as a church. And the body of Christ will become ineffective in Corinth and the surrounding areas. What are we not? Well, we're not contemporary. We want to remember that God's message, God's music, God's method, God's motive, they never change. Let's be content to do what God says, do it His way, even if there are those who think we're old-fashioned. What we think is not, we're not overly concerned with whether we're relevant to people who don't know God. If they feel like we're irrelevant, we want to examine our lives in light of the Bible rather than examining the Bible in light of our lives. We want to concentrate on what God has determined to be important, not what we determine to be important. As far as being accepted, we want to remember that if our Christianity is accepting of the world and the world is as accepting of our Christianity, then we're building the one world church that the Antichrist will be the head of. Let's accept those things that God accepts. Let's reject anything that God rejects. Just outright reject it. Let's be really plain about that, where we stand. It's not hard, is it? The world and the pressure from without is what makes it hard. We need to be ready. We live in a 200-year-old church. People are going to call us old-fashioned. They're going to be calling us irrelevant. They'll be calling us separatist or legalist or something like that. Brothers and sisters, they just don't understand. They don't understand. And how could they understand? They don't know our God. All of the reasons that we could give them, they're foolishness to them. Those are not the first things they need to hear. What do they need to hear first? Oh, back to our purpose. We're here to give them the gospel. Did I ever tell you how Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And they buried him, and in 3 days he came out of the grave. He's alive today, and we serve a living, risen Savior. He's in the world today, and he's at the Father's right hand. He's God Almighty, and he loves you, and he gave himself for you. And your forgiveness is paid for. It's a gift. Won't you receive? Won't you believe? And some will believe. And then we'll teach them everything that Jesus taught. Because we're a church. Corinth Baptist Church is a church. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share these thoughts that have been much on my heart and much on my mind. I pray, Father, that as I unload them on the brothers and sisters who've gathered here this morning and in the weeks to come, oh Lord, that it might be all of our burden, that we might be rock solid upon the truth of the Word of God. Father, thank you for the reminder of why we're here. Help us not to lose sight of it. Help us to love you with our whole heart and serve you with our whole life. To present our bodies a living sacrifice. To be renewed in our minds. To be led by your Spirit. To produce the fruit of the Spirit. To teach the things that Jesus taught. And Father, for all that you accomplish in us, and all that you accomplish by us or through us, Lord, we know that we deserve no praise. We sing glory to his name. Glory to your name, Lord. I can't wait to stand in your presence. I'm looking forward to hearing the trumpet, Lord. I've talked to some of these, my brothers and sisters, and we're all looking forward to being in your presence. Until we get there, though, Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand. And having done all, to stand. Help us to make a difference in these perilous times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.